And welcome back again. You're listening to Breakthrough Entertainment Live, 1480 AM, KPHX in Phoenix, Arizona.
And we were playing musical chairs. We were playing musical chairs because
and I was
Dave,
running out of music.
Yeah, Dave wasn't here, and then I was sitting in his spot, and then now he's here, and I had to move.
And now I'm here, and I saw
but
Eric.
I feel like I'm seeing double.
You are.
Yeah, because there's two Davids in the studio with me.
I know, but I was watching people behind the glass with their hands flailing away.
Like, at you.
Like,
he's
yeah.
going, hello,
well,
you're
it
live.
It looked like road rage to me. It did not. It just wasn't simply hand gestures. Am I right?
I was hand jiving.
Oh, yeah. I saw that once. Okay. So, yeah, I was off the first 2 hours. Where was I?
I think it might be tax season.
Yeah?
And you are a tax guy. Well, not CPA. A tax guy, but you're a huge CPA, yes.
A huge CPA. Thanks.
With big clients. Big clients. Oh, yeah. So it's more than just taxes.
Yeah,
it's
she's covering up now, right? A huge CPA. What, am I Donald Trump? Huge.
No, that he would say huge.
If I was Donald huge. Trump, I'd be owning the station. Is that
this
correct?
Is a huge thing.
Oh,
a
yeah.
huge thing.
That's right. Well, this is exciting. So here I am. I got a lot of work done. And I had a lovely talk with Kathleen.
Oh!
And Eric, she is so nice. I'm not kidding you, Eric.
I don't know what you're talking about, but...
Oh, no. It's just good stuff, right? Yeah.
She said good stuff.
Yeah. She is a very nice lady.
She's
you
smart.
You are a lucky
she's
guy,
beautiful.
Eric.
That's what we've been telling
I know.
Him.
I keep hearing that.
Oh, yeah, you do.
It's true.
I mean, in the last hour, I heard it.
And she's lucky,
oh.
too. We will admit that. But.
I agree. I think she's like, well, let's ask her live
look
in
at
front
the grin.
Of everyone. Is she lucky?
Yes, lucky.
Yes.
She said lucky?
She said yes, lucky.
Oh, yes, lucky.
Yes. And see, you know what? I think Eric is part of the reason we never see her without a smile on her face.
Oh, is that
Have
why?
You ever seen her not smile?
No, she's always very,
and she
very
has a gorgeous.
Yeah, smiling, and it makes Eric smile, and then he lights up a cigarette because of activities.
Oh, stop it!
Oh, okay. Well, I mean, I saw that in the movies once. Twice. All right, I see it every night. Okay, I don't smoke. Anyway, we're excited because we have a very special guest. We met, what, a couple years ago, I think, in Sedona.
Yeah, the Sedona Film Festival.
That's right, yeah. Which is a great festival. And we have David Appleford. I love your last name, by the way.
Oh, you do?
Yeah.
I don't know the origin.
I love his first name.
Because it reminds me of a fruit and a car.
Well, that's how I explain it. But I think the origin is Scandinavian, you know,
oh,
like the
is?
Apple Fjords.
Oh, yes.
But
okay.
You sound English, though.
That's right. I've not been one of those who go back into your heritage. It's, all I know is I was born where I was born. And anything
sure.
that occurred before, you know. I know there's an American habit of always wanting to know your background. And you start searching
yeah.
things. But most people in Europe just, they stop it
they
with their
care.
Birth. Yeah, they don't care.
Wow, they even have commercials. What is that called? The genealogy?
Ancestry.com?
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I know.
But you can also do like your DNA and find out where your bloodline started, too, which I think is kind of cool.
Right.
But you have to realize that in the United States, our historical districts or our history, outside of the Native Americans, obviously, but as far as our buildings and everything... We're talking, you know, the 1700s, 1776. And you go, right?
You knew that?
Well, it's true.
But you go to Europe.
Now
and,
you're
and
insulting
it, and
the guy.
No.
1776.
That was last week.
No,
that was last Thursday.
Isn't that?
In the terms of world history.
Well, that's exactly. Exactly. Right. So see, if you're born in the United States, we don't have the depth of culture that you find in other countries around the world, aside from the Native American cultures
right.
that we had.
Well,
so that's what I'm saying is that...
Well, I'll give you a quick example. I used to do mornings at a radio station in San Diego, and it's a lovely,
Yay,
lovely city
to
be
yes,
in.
Yes,
right.
it is.
But near where I lived, there was a Woolworths, but it was a historic Woolworths. You couldn't touch it, and there was a placard on the side, and it said 50 years old. And I thought, well, my sister runs a pub outside of London in Beckenham, and that building alone is the 16th century.
Exactly.
So something that was 50 years ago hardly seems historic.
Yeah. Exactly. Exactly. Yeah. But that's why I'm saying I think we're always in search for our roots.
So if you ever go to Scotland, be careful. I know specifically of a store or a shop or whatever that builds itself as one of those ancestry places. They make it up on the spot.
Oh, wow.
You'll go in and they'll put your name in a computer and they'll come up with a design and they'll print
Oh, for your coat of arms?
Right, and all that. It's all made up. Believe me.
That is amazing. Yeah.
And,
wow.
And you know who their biggest customers are?
Americans.
American tourists.
Of course, yes. So because we want to get our family coat of arms.
Right. Always beware what you're too willing to believe about your past without confirming it from a second or third source.
Well, Ted Cruz was born in Canada.
Yeah, well, and
that's all I could say.
And that's certainly an issue.
It is indeed. So let's get your background, because you're from England, like we talked about. You've been on the radio. You're a film critic. You do you look
theater.
At theater. Sort of a versatile type of guy.
Well, I came over to the United States in '82. That's when I emigrated.
1882?
Dave,
a little
come
bit before that war was building.
You look
building.
So good for that.
But yeah, 1982, that's when I landed. And at this point, I've lived more years in the United States than in Britain. But I used to do theater in England.
Oh, you did?
And it seemed a natural progression to continue with entertainment in one way. And I went into radio.
Oh, cool.
And the nice thing about radio is it's one of those industries that if you're doing okay, you know, you get to see areas of the country through the work and you become involved with the city through the work. So I started in North Carolina. I went on to Indiana, San Diego, as I said, back to Pennsylvania. And then I did radio for about 8 years. Are we allowed to use other call letters?
Let's ask Eric. Are we allowed to say other call stations or just say another station? But we probably should. Okay, so I would say another, a different station.
Another FM station in town.
Oh, there you go.
But very well known, because at Christmas, boy, do you get the season.
Now you're going too far.
So I think you know which one. But so I was about 8 years there. And the nice thing about that industry, television and radio, is that when you do get pulled or invited to another part of the country, you become automatically involved with the city, because obviously the radio station is a voice of that city, so you by default have to plunge headfirst into whatever's going on. So rather than someone who moves there because the electric company moved them or whatever, when you do radio and television, you become a part of that city. And you know, within a couple of months, you tend to know most of the streets, the pronunciations of things, people who are involved, all that kind of business. And it's a great thrill, and it's certainly a great ride, and it has been.
Oh, yeah, I can imagine. And I love your website, by the way. I want to give a plug, because, and so do you, Tricia. I mean, you pointed it out to me, in fact.
Oh, yeah, his website's
really
incredible.
It's really nicely laid out, but a lot of nice reviews and easy to find. It's easy to navigate the website. That's important, to have a website that you can navigate.
Right. Well, the intention was, in the style of writing, that when I no longer was reviewing for the radio station, I would write in a slightly different way. And the approach is that it's for movie buffs and theater buffs. There's no really compromising with the examples that you give, because, you know, when I was growing up, you'd read, some of the, and I'm not referring to People magazine or something that gives a quick thumbs up, thumbs down, something that does an analysis. And the reference in there, I would run down to the library and just look it up, because that was the way you learn. Today, it's even easier, because you can split your screen on the monitor, and if there's a reference that you don't quite get, within a second or two, you can look it up. I decided, rather than do the radio approach, the three S's, short, simple, and stupid, because whether you like it or not, that's a lot of the training in radio for mass audiences. I decided to change the style somewhat and write for people who are actually interested in the subject, to the point where even if they don't get the reference, they might go out of their way to look it up.
Well, that's interesting.
It piques their interest, and it actually educates as well, which is nice, or allows people to self-educate.
Yeah, I like to think so. I actually approach each review as a kind of college paper. I mean, it doesn't read like a college paper.
Oh, no, most definitely it does not. It's wonderful.
The idea, though, is if you make a statement, then support it with a couple of examples that will illustrate what you're talking about.
Yeah.
Don't just make a sweeping statement like, a right-wing talk show host who will just say something but won't necessarily back it up with real examples. Give examples in there, and whether the person reading it agrees or not agrees with your overall view of it, you know, you can't really argue with an example if it's solid. And the reference is true, too. So mm-hmm. That's how I try to do it. And there are two different approaches to film and theater, but the overall idea is that it's written for those who are interested specifically in the subject.
And I have your website up right now. It really is sharp. I got to say.
I didn't expect this.
But it really is. Valley Screen and Stage. David Appleford. See, I didn't even pronounce my own name right.
I know.
David Appleford's
scary.
Film and theater reviews at Appleford.com. Wait a minute.
Well, you can.
That's not right. It's DavidAppleford.com.
Well, the actual URL, the address is a little more complicated.
It is. Appleford.leftcoastx.
Yeah. Who could remember that?
I typed in one thing. I'm looking at the address bar and it changed on me.
Well, it's very easy to do. You just type in DavidAppleford.com and it will direct you immediately to that site.
It really is nice. This is a very well laid out website.
Well, it's easy to navigate, like you said. And what I absolutely love about it is that, you know, you have movie reviews that you can get in so many different places. You can see a movie review. But what I love is your style that you were just talking about in your reviews, but also that you have live performances, stage performances, other things that are happening here around the Valley in addition to that. And, you know, you are active in the scene with the film festivals. That's where we've seen you the last couple of years as well. But just your style is just very...
Engaging.
That's okay. A very good word. That's an excellent word.
That's how I said it.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah.
Yeah. Thank
good
you very
job.
Much.
Let me point out, I didn't agree to come here just to hear this, but I love it anyway.
Well, we love to give compliments, and especially when they're well-deserved, and it is well-deserved.
Well, one of the nice things I have to tell you is since leaving the unnamed station that I did movie reviews for and theater reviews here in Phoenix, the hits on the online magazine have shot up, which is... I feared that once you weren't quite in the public eye on a regular basis that it would go the other way, but it didn't. It actually did much better, which is good.
It is definitely good. Let me ask you... we got a few more minutes till our first break. What the difference is between writing reviews for film versus theater?
Well, there are very distinctive differences because the overall voice that I use is still the writing style. But obviously, if you're reviewing theater, you have to look for other elements within that proscenium arch on stage that you don't do with film. One thing I'm also very conscious of is that if I'm writing a review that, say, Gwyneth Paltrow's in, I don't think she's going to read that review. But you're very conscious when you write local professional theater that those actors, directors, and everyone involved in it, and relatives of those involved in it, are going to read your review. And so you're very conscious of the fact that someone is going to go through it, and you try to get it as right and as fair as possible.
That's tricky, isn't it? Because, you know, over the years, we've had a lot of guests, and certainly we're here to help and to give exposure to independent filmmakers particularly. But, you know, it's sort of politically, is it politically challenging for you if you really don't like something and you know the lead people are going to read it? How do you approach it? Do you approach it differently? Or?
No, not really. As long as, again, those examples that you give, you don't want to just say, didn't rise to the occasion or just wasn't good enough. You have to explain why. And hopefully in the explanation, the reason will come out. And I hope to think it's fair. But if you see enough movies, as a lot of, you know, obviously the reviewers do, you can average 5-6 a week sometimes, you get to know the fact that many of them are pretty mediocre.
Yeah.
Whereas with the theater, especially our local professional pool of talent that we have here, the majority tends to be very, very good. And I even have some favorite actors and actresses and some favorite venues. And I now live in constant fear that they're going to let me down on the next one because gotcha. I don't particularly want to write anything negative.
I hear you.
Yeah. It is much easier. It's wrong to... I don't want anyone to think you go in with knives and you want to slice a movie about.
Correct.
But films give you so many opportunities to knock
them.
They
do.
Whereas, you know, with my own theater background, as I was an actor and I directed some things... there's a different appreciation when reviewing theater. I actually review it from a worker's point of view, knowing what work had to go into it. And I think there's a nice balance between doing both because if you just review theater but you have very little film knowledge, some of the decisions that you see on stage you might maybe a little questionable in the same way the other way around. If all you ever do is see films but you don't know the origin of their adaptations and you can't compare with the original work, then I think you might be missing out on something there. You can't always tell how successful a movie version of a play is because if you don't know the original play in the first place.
Mm-hmm. So that's true. But that's very true.
This is really interesting though. I think this is a great discussion because you know you have film critics, you have people reviewing theater. Everyone has different criteria. Maybe in school they teach you how to review a film. I suspect at some of the major schools. But my question is this: is that you know the average moviegoer has and they even have different criteria. But however, were they entertained or were they not?
Yes.
And but does that put a little bit different emphasis in on the movie, you know, critic to look at it sometimes through the average person's eyes? Because
I try to do both.
Yeah.
And you certainly want to know the entertainment value of a film and how the average moviegoer will think, because obviously that's the prime reason why it was filmed in the first place.
And isn't that the reason why you're reviewing it too? Because people are going to look at that.
True, but in the same way you might look at a painting of a Mona Lisa. If you know something of the subject, you're going to point out little things that perhaps don't
gotcha.
Work.
Sure.
That's why I say I write for the movie buff who are interested in more than right. seeing it just as entertainment.
Gotcha.
But I still take that into consideration. And I have to tell you, there are some films that I've seen wearing the critic's hat that when it was released about 3 or 4 months later as a DVD, I've just played it again for the fun of it at home. And you start seeing it in a very different way.
Yeah, I
it's
bet.
Almost mm-hmm. because you want to like it, you ignore the faults.
Yeah, exactly.
But obviously, as a reviewer, you can't because that's why you're there.
It's like being married. You sort of try to ignore the faults.
I'm not even sure I could comment on that.
Well, that's a whole different
We should say to listeners, this is Man and Wife in the studio with me.
Yeah, this is interesting.
So don't think I'm going to back you up on that.
That's a good point. So I'll tell you, why don't we take a quick break? And when we come back, let's talk more about theater, because we love theater. Arizona Theater Company is fantastic.
We bump into each other there.
Exactly.
We do,
exactly.
And you go to a lot more, and we'd love to hear some of the other theaters as well. And this is Breakthrough Entertainment Live, 1480 AM KPHX. We'll be right back.
It's now time for the word association game. Contestants, go ahead.
Bars. Meat market. Gas.
High prices.
Politicians.
Liars.
Auto mechanics.
Ripoff.
Guys, whoa, wait a minute here. Not when I think of my auto mechanic, I think of trust, care, safety, and fairness. This sounds like the definition of a friend, which was what Alexander's All Care Automotive Repair achieves with his customers. The peace of mind that comes with the mechanic that puts you first. Located at 3310 East Thomas Road, Phoenix, 85018. Call 602-956-3781. 602-956-3781.
Do you owe money to the IRS? Have you heard of possible payment options such as a partial payment installment agreement, offering compromise, or not currently collectible status? Knowing that you have options and what those options are will greatly relieve your worry and stress. Hi, my name is Dave Isaac, CPA and former government tax auditor. If you are curious as to what options may be available to you if you owe money to the IRS, my 25 years experience as a CPA may very well help you in these times of uncertainty. Stop worrying and start learning about what options you have. If you just want to talk to someone about your IRS debt or want specific advice, I invite you to call me at 602-625-3074. That is 602-625-3074. And when you call, ask for me, Dave Isaac, CPA and former government tax auditor.
At Birenbaum and Spien PC, we want to help you work on your business, not in your business. We take a simple approach. You know your business. Our firm gives you the information to make those decisions better. Our firm takes a proactive approach to your accounting needs, and if you look behind the numbers, you'll find there are hidden opportunities that we try to impart on you. Communication is the key to that understanding, and there is no charge for brief phone calls. Contact us at 602-266-5633 or email us at mitch@jfbpc.com. Birenbaum and Spien works to increase your understanding of your business in order to make the decisions necessary to move your business forward.
And welcome back again. You're listening to Breakthrough Entertainment Live, 1480 AM KPHX in Phoenix, Arizona. Eric, did you miss me the first couple hours?
No, Dave, because you were sitting right in the other room.
Oh, yeah.
He had one eye on you because you were out there with Kathleen.
What? What? The lights were on. Okay. So, no, it was fun. Anyway, we're here. I'm here for the last hour. And we have such a great special guest. First of all, I'm Dave. Trisha's in studio. Woo-hoo! Eric behind the glass. And our special guest, David Appleford, theater, film critic, phenomenal. Am I right?
Did I write this and you just...
No, really, seriously. No, it really is. I just love your website. That's the thing, of not the future, it's here right now. I mean, social media, so important. Yes. You know, so important to get your name out. But we were going to talk, before we talk about theater, by the way, because we really love theater as well, and I know you do, is AMC's new proposed policy. Do you want to go over that?
For film theaters.
Yeah.
Yeah, the texting. You should point out then that what it is, AMC Theater are proposing the idea that young people, they call them the millennials,
yes,
but it means anybody really who goes to the movie theater should be allowed to text.
During the movie.
Right.
But AMC's the one that has that turn off your cell phones. It's distracting.
Well, they should. It's an asinine idea.
With all those lights, it is.
It's appalling. It's absolutely appalling. I mean, you go to any screenings for films, they pad you down before you go in. And
they do.
Oh, yeah. They take your cell phone.
Yeah. It's like going through security at an airport on some... If it's a Disney movie, don't even drive to the theater with your phone.
Because
your phone. Because you're not going
to get... vehicle? She said don't drive to the theater with your vehicle. So, Eric, how
does
that
bike.
Work? Oh.
Thumb a ride, get there somehow. But don't take your phone because they'll package it and they give you a number and you have to pick it up when you come out.
That's what they did with me with one of the screenings that
I
went to.
And they should do that. You shouldn't take your phone in unless you're a doctor on call. There's no reason to have your phone in a movie theater. It takes you out of the magic of what you're watching. And anyone who says, well, you know, babysitters and that, what did you do 2 or 3 years ago when it wasn't a habit?
And you didn't have a cell phone.
It is really not that necessary. And what are you texting while watching a movie?
But, you know, that
happened. It takes you out of the movie.
Actually, Eric, that happened to me once. They took my phone, but it was in a city in Nevada, like Beatty, Nevada or something.
Why did they take your phone?
Okay.
Oh, I see.
Oh, that's what he was waiting for.
You were at a ranch, right?
All right. Gotcha. I'm not saying I was at a ranch, but okay.
Say no more. But no, I think it's a stupid idea, and it's actually encouraging something that should be going in the other direction.
Yeah, I agree.
Well, I mean, haven't people actually gotten like? Didn't somebody get shot or stabbed for a cell phone out in the theater?
The last thing you want to do is see someone's screen suddenly light up as if they've just put the lighter on. It's so distracting.
Yeah, it is.
Who are you texting in the middle of the movie that's taking you out of the film? When I watch a DVD at home...
You don't text.
I don't answer the phone. I don't do anything. Oh. I'm watching the film. I'm committed to watching that.
Nice attitude. Yeah. I like that. So, that's strange. We'll see what happens on that. But the world is changing, as you could tell, politically as well as everything.
There are some theaters around the country, I want to tell, that have wired their walls to the building so that you cannot pick up a signal inside.
Oh.
Once the movies, you can't use it. It blocks... like an
electronic.
Yeah, there's a magnetic field that won't allow you. And I was thinking, now that's a good idea.
Yeah, that's a great idea.
And their business, I said, if you're a doctor on call, if you are, why are you going to the movies in the first place? So there's no reason to have a phone during the period of watching a movie.
It makes sense, except the addiction that the millennials have because they can't seem to do anything. It's like, remember the commercial, don't leave home without, the American Express card or whatever? People they go berserk if they leave without what they think is their security blanket, a cell phone, right? Don't you think?
Well, it's bad enough that they use the world as a private payphone in the first place. Because remember, when we had landlines and you'd say, I need to make a call, you go into a phone booth, you close the door for privacy. Now there are people walking around having loud conversations, allowing everybody to hear everything.
It's true.
The whole world has become their private phone booth. And the last thing you want is a movie theater, or especially a live theater. Yeah. I mean, there's a famous story of Kevin Spacey. I think he was on a London stage, and he's doing a performance, and he could keep hearing this phone ringing and ringing from the audience. He stopped the play. He looked out to the area where the phone was ringing, and he said, "Will you please answer the phone?" You don't want that kind of thing to ruin your habit. AMC have stepped in the wrong direction. It's greed, actually, when you think in terms of, they say to invite the millennials to come in. It shows no respect for the product that they are promoting, which is the movie.
Mm-hmm. Interesting. Mm-hmm.
Well, no, and I totally and completely agree with you on that one, because I just think that it's ridiculous to have... I remember the shows that we used to have for kids that were like, Sesame Street, The Electric Company, things like that. And then I would see that it would move. And these millennials have grown up with children's TV shows, etc., just flashing from one thing to another thing to another thing to another thing. They would see Sesame Street and go, this is boring. but the problem is that ADD is on the rise. All the rest of this stuff supposedly is on the rise, or we're noticing it more differently. But I really think that we are allowing that to happen by allowing these distractions to continually be in our lives.
Sure.
You know, you turn your phone off and you have a moment to... When you go to a movie, you're supposed to become enveloped in the story.
Absolutely.
That's the idea of having the big screen, the dark room. You know, you want to be involved and become a part of that movie and become engrossed in that film or in that play.
Right.
With the characters and everything. And if you have that kind of a distraction, I think you're going to lose a lot of people, because I will not go if people are going to be texting and their phones lighting up or whatever.
Think of this as two ways. A movie theater or a live theater, the auditorium, it's not an extension of your living room. You don't act and talk and speak and use phones in the same way. It's also not... it's not a public auditorium either. You've paid a ticket. You've paid a price. Everybody has paid the same price in order to get there. So once you're on the inside, it is now private. It's not public. It's not open for you to do and say and behave in any way you want. And that certainly includes phones. Mm-hmm. Turn the darn things off, or leave them in your car, or don't take them in the first place. AMC should be ashamed of themselves.
Wow, and AMC is on line one now. let's take the call. No, I'm kidding. Oh, you look worried, didn't you?
No, but I'm just saying I'm amazed, because, I mean, I that's actually my go-to theaters in San Diego.
But it is just proposed, you know? Right?
So yeah, I don't think they're doing it, but the fact that it's been leaked and it's now a news item.
Maybe they're just trying to get some feedback.
Maybe it's people like us talking about it now and they want to see
publicity.
What the reaction
that's what it is.
Yeah, it could
hit
be.
The news cycle.
It could be. Well, it's, you know, they were talking about being able to leave your cell phone on when you're on the airplane because it supposedly didn't interfere with the radar like everybody thought it might.
Yeah.
But then, I mean, even before takeoff, when you're even on a delayed flight, when you're in that little, you know, that plane, even though I say little, but, you know, 145 or whatever people, and somebody's on their phone and talking too loudly or talking inappropriately, and you just want to turn around, and I'm not a person who's known for plane rage or car rage or whatever you want to call it, road rage, but I felt like turning around and just saying, can you please watch your language?
Sure,
there are kids here.
Absolutely.
And this person was dropping F-bombs and doing, and I'm just like, seriously?
They were?
Yeah, on the phone.
Oh.
And for some people, that's their vernacular, which is fine, but not if you
not in
are
public.
Well, and people can't leave. A parent can't take their child away from you if they're sitting because you're out on the tarmac waiting to take off, you know, and you're parked over there because there's an air traffic control hold, so they're allowing people to use their phones. And it's like, you know, it's one thing to text or check your emails or whatever, but to be having a conversation that's inappropriate or too loud or just really anything shy of, I'm going to be a little bit late, sweetie.
Well, here's the bottom line. This is the bottom line. I don't know so much about the technology of planes and whether it interferes with it, but Tris was right. I've heard that it doesn't anymore. But it does affect a live theater performance. It affects the audience's reaction because they're distracted. It affects the actor who can hear it, especially in a very quiet passage.
Oh, yeah.
And in as far as movies, it might not affect those performances that are being reflected on a screen, but it still spoils it for the audience around them because it constantly takes you out of the magic of the moment.
Totally.
So the answer is, do not do it.
We agree. We're going to have a vote. And okay, it's unanimous. Well, wait, we didn't get Eric and Kathleen's votes. Do you want texting during film, like movie theaters?
What would I be texting?
Well, I mean,
well, there we are.
Allowing
the point.
People.
Would you allow texting?
I prefer when people put their phones away.
Okay. And Kathleen?
It's distracting when you can see their screen.
Yeah. I agree totally.
So
okay,
I think all of us
unanimous.
Here are in agreement.
It's unanimous, and we'll take this to AMC and have a discussion with their CEO.
Case closed.
Case closed, no doubt. Let's talk a little bit about theaters. Now, we talked about the Arizona Theater Company. What a great place. I mean, the Herberger, our great friend Steve Carr, tremendous PR guy. How nice is that guy? And how effective is he and how professional?
Very, very,
the top,
very.
Don't you think?
Well,
I do. Just love that guy.
And, you know, you've used a good example because Arizona Theater Company are one of the premier.
Tremendous.
Their standard is so high. I sat next to, I remember an audience member a few plays back and just striking up a conversation, as you sometimes do. And she says that she was a subscriber. She only goes to the Herberger to see Arizona Theater Company. And the reason is, she said it's her Broadway fix. She wasn't referring to the national Broadway tours that go to ASU Gamage.
Right.
Because, you know, Gamage is such a massive auditorium.
It is.
Even though the what they're showing is terrific, the auditorium itself doesn't reflect Broadway or even London West End theaters. But the Herberger does.
Yes.
And because the standard of ATC's productions are so high, that's what she was referring to. Seeing at least one of their productions every few months gives her, since she's moved to Phoenix away from New York, this is her Broadway fix.
Wow, that is a cool stuff. And we saw our last play, we saw Fences.
Mm-hmm.
Unbelievable, right?
Mm-hmm.
Best I've ever seen.
Well, and the thing is that I was... And this sounds very bad of me, but coming from the West Coast, and I love New York and the theater scene, and I even love the West End in London. But I really had no idea how many outlets of culture and the arts are available here at such high quality.
Right.
I mean, it blew me away. The first show that I saw there in this fairly intimate theater, I was like, wow. I love it. Yeah, so very impressive.
They're a leading company, but the good thing is, for those who love live theater and don't realize it, there's a massive pool of tremendous professional talent here in Maricopa County. Yeah. There are plenty of outlets, youth theaters as well. Mm-hmm. A lot of the community theaters, their standard is high, because a lot of the actors that you see on the professional stage, you might see them turning him up in one of the community theater productions, because first it keeps their hand in, mm-hmm. And it also raises the standard of that particular production. So there's a lot of really very good stuff here, and I'm so thrilled to be able to see. I can't see everything, but the key players in this. The week is, for me, is split into two. Monday through Thursday is screenings for movies, and then Friday, Saturday, and Sunday is usually a matinee, live theater, whatever.
Busy guy. Now, take us around town a little bit to different theaters. We talked about the Arizona Theater Company at the Herberger.
Well, they're currently doing Of Mice and Men at the moment. Yeah. Sadly, it's the one opening in almost 8 years of seeing shows that I didn't go to. I had to do an emergency trip overseas, but the show that I missed, and I hear is very good, Of Mice and Men,
yes.
And that's closing this weekend.
Oh.
From what I've read, from what I know, and of course, from the previous high standards I've seen, try and go. Play it again, Sam, over at the Fountain Hills Theater, if you're willing to drive that far. Obviously, those in Fountain Hills, it's right on this
coast.
But they're doing the very funny Play It Again, Sam. And also Smokey Joe's Cafe, the Desert Foothills Theater. Also, a high standard of production. And Legally Blonde at Mesa Community College. These are all shows that are, I believe, are closing this weekend.
Yeah.
So if you're looking for live theater and any of those appeal to you, go online and check them out and see what you can do. But there are so many others. For instance, the Valley U Theater.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Now, Valley U Theater, there's a lot of great talent that has sprung from there. That's why I go, because it's a way of seeing the future talent but on stage at the Phoenix Theater. They're doing a show right now called Pinkalicious. It goes on until the 24th. I haven't seen it, so it's not as if I'm saying a recommendation for the production, but Valley U Theater under Bob Cooper's direction is always interesting. Yeah. You know, there are names that have sprung from it, by the way. I don't know if you know. Max Crum, local talent, he's from Valley U Theater, and he was on Broadway in Grease. Mm-hmm. There's a lady called Chelsea Kane. She's with the Disney Channel. And perhaps the most famous of all is movie actor Emma Stone. Mm-hmm. The family come from Paradise Valley. She's an alumni of Valley U Theater. In fact, I understand that Bob Cooper, who I say runs Valley U Theater, they keep in touch constantly. And and we know Emma Stone, of course, Spider-Man.
Everything.
Yeah. She's about to be Billie Jean King in a movie called The Fight of the Century. You know about that?
She's going to play Billie Jean.
Awesome.
I've seen pictures. I don't know about the physical build from the neck down, but certainly the face with the wig and the glasses.
Really?
She's got
who
Billie Jean
King. Who plays Bobby Riggs?
I have no clue. It's to come out a little later in the year.
That's too funny. Wow.
But Emma sprang from Valley U Theater.
I had no idea. That is awesome to know.
Theater Works right now are doing Vanya and Sonia, Masha and Spike. And we saw that, I believe, at Herberger, again, going back to Arizona Theater Company.
Did we see that? I'm trying to remember.
It was a very, very good
show.
What
was it called?
Vanya and Sonia, and Masha and Spike.
Wow, I don't know if I saw that.
Oh, no, we didn't.
Maybe that one went by you.
But it's
terrific.
I like the title, though.
Really? It was done on Broadway. The lead, I've forgotten his name now. He was Frasier's brother.
Oh,
Niles.
Yeah. Oh, he's
Niles,
cool.
Yes.
He was the lead in when it was on Broadway.
Oh, wow.
Scottsdale Desert Stages, they're doing 9 to 5. And right now at Scottsdale Desert Stages Theater, the smaller theater, there's only about 4 rows. It's very intimate. Oh. They're doing an outstanding production of Glengarry Glen Ross, which was directed by Virginia Oliveira. I think Virginia may have been here at some point earlier for an interview. But anyway, her show, Glengarry Glen Ross, is running right now, and it's outstanding. It was one of those shows that I went thinking, well, I know I'm going to enjoy because I like the piece.
Yeah.
But I wasn't prepared for how well they had done it. And considering that the actual theater setting that they're in only has 4 rows, that's very intimate.
How does that happen? How many seats are those? 4 rows?
Man, not sure. It can't be many, can it?
Like
it's wide, though. It's as wide as the theater.
So maybe, wide as the theater. So let's have a guess. I'm going to say Maybe what? 200 to 300 people?
Say there's about 15 per row.
Oh, 15 per row?
Yeah, it's not a big place. It's being done as originally written. I don't know if you know Glengarry Glen Ross, but it's pretty much a profane written piece by David Mamet. But the great thing is the director has left everything in, and that's exactly as it should be. I mean, the characters in the play, they're shockingly profane, but being PC, even if David Mamet himself took them out in a version...
Yeah.
It has no place. You've got to have them in Glengarry Glen Ross, and it's outstanding. Here's something to remember, by the way, about Desert Stages. I made a note. I thought it was very important. During the fall this year, Desert Stages are moving out of its current location on Scottsdale Road, and they're going into its new, I would say, expansive location that was previously Harkins Theatre in the Scottsdale Fashion Square. Because if you go to the Fashion Square,
right.
there's
they've
a whole...
Moved.
They've
yeah,
yeah,
they
there's
moved.
This whole new... Well, the area that used to have them is becoming the Desert Stages Theater.
Oh, wow. That could be a huge... Right. So more than four rows, that's for sure.
Exactly. So I think it all but guarantees that they're going to have an audience. And if they keep the standard of Glengarry Glen Ross up... They're going to have...
Smart move.
Yeah, they're doing very well. And it's currently running now, and I think it's highly recommended.
Oh, wow.
And the good thing is, when I saw it, when it opened a few weeks ago, who knows? Because it's got a fairly long run. It can only get better.
Yeah.
Because whatever things that might have been wrong on the opening night when we saw it that need to be tweaked, you often do. That's the great thing of live theater. The performance that you as a reviewer see is one version, but next night it might be completely
different. Yeah.
Whereas when you see a movie, it's exactly the same, no matter what forum you see it on, whether it's your iPad or on a big screen or a DVD. But live theater changes constantly. So the version that I saw with The Notebook might be slightly different from the one they do at the matinee the next day. And that's what makes live theater so exciting.
That's
oh,
right.
yes.
No
yes.
doubt.
And that's why when I go, you know, to New York or even here, I don't mind seeing something multiple times depending on who the players are, it just changes the little nuances, you know, even though the story stays the same.
That's true. And in terms of local theater, I wanted to bring out, in addition to all the adult material we have, there are some amazing...
Now, let's clarify that. Adult material.
Well, shows that appeal more to with adult themes. For grown-ups.
Okay.
But there are a lot
it's
of...
It's called mature.
I thought you said adult material, but you said adult appeal?
Well, appeal as well.
Okay.
Whichever way you want to look at it. The point that I was making, there's a lot of good theater for children as well.
Okay, gotcha.
Now, I've mentioned Valley Youth Theater,
but
there's another one called Spotlight Youth Theater, which is run by Kenny Grossman in Glendale.
Interesting.
And a lot of the same actors or young actors you may see on both stages.
Wow.
But I think with Spotlight, they tend to be the older teenagers.
Gotcha.
And they put on some audacious productions that you think, my goodness, what are they going to do it like? And often they do it surprisingly well.
A lot of good stuff here, then, saying.
So, and there's the Christian Youth Theater, and there's a lot of...
there's a dinner theater.
They actually do a lot for younger audiences there and they're on the smaller side.
You mean Arizona Broadway?
Arizona Broadway up in Peoria.
How do you like that?
I love it. Mostly, I treat it as a date night when I go because... unlike dinner theaters around the country, this particular one has a very different approach. And even though those who live in the center of Phoenix, or in my case, down in Albuquerque, so you can't get further south, driving up to Peoria may not be such an appeal.
Right.
It's about 50 minutes if there's no traffic going there and 50 minutes coming back. But it's well worth it. And those who live in the Glendale and Peoria area already know how good it is.
Yeah.
But I think it's still to be discovered by many here in the city itself.
Interesting.
And their standard is really very high. The first show I saw of theirs was some years ago when they did Tarzan, the Disney musical. And I didn't really like the show itself, but I loved what the theater did with it. And I think that's what's important also when you're doing when you're doing theater reviews.
The production.
Right, because recently I saw Fiddler on the Roof there.
Oh.
Fortunately, I do like Fiddler, but think of it this way. Whether you like the actual production or not, as a reviewer, so much has already been said and written about the shows. There's nothing I'm going to add that will make any difference.
Except the unique differences they do.
Yeah, except what do they do with the production? And with that Tarzan that I saw some years ago there, I was blown away with their production. The set was terrific. The performances were good. The orchestra, the singing, it was a really high standard. And I thought, well, I can't wait to see something that I actually like with of all these production values. And the food is also very good. It sounds as if I'm doing a huge endorsement here. But the reason I even mention that part is that many people who go to dinner theaters around the country, they're usually are faced with a sort of buffet style.
Yeah.
You know, like you would go into a cafeteria.
Just some generic.
Yeah. When you go here, I was so surprised. It's gourmet food. There's a menu. Waiters come to your table.
Wow.
You decide what you're going to eat, and they'll bring it to you. And then and the taste is excellent. I mean, I don't know if
they date night.
Yeah.
But no eating during the play.
No. Once the the service over, they clear everything out.
Gotcha.
And then you can just angle your chair a little bit, and it's stadium seating, so it's staggered.
That is cool.
And then you see the show, and again, there's a big difference between, there's almost a dividing line actually between the food and those who run the theater part.
Very
and both are very high standard.
Well, let's take one more quick break, and when we come back, we will wrap up the show. We only have one segment left, can you believe it? But we'll talk maybe more theater, but maybe a couple film reviews and we probably should do part two because we got so much to talk about.
Yeah, I think I think yes.
Yeah,
that's a sign of very good things.
She said yes. Okay, and this is Breakthrough Entertainment Live, 1480 AM KPHX in Phoenix, Arizona. We'll be right back.
Are you suffering from back pain or joint problems? Is stress getting the best of you? Do you want to lose a few pounds? Try healing powers of hot yoga at Bikram Yoga Peoria. Hot yoga is therapeutic, restorative, and rejuvenating. Bikram Yoga Peoria is offering 90-minute hot yoga classes. Mention Breakthrough Thinking to receive one complimentary class, one free healthy meal protein shake, and one free wellness assessment. Benefits of hot yoga include reducing high cholesterol, reducing high sugar, improving flexibility, endurance, energy, and strength, improving metabolism, and burning fat. What are you waiting for? Pick up the phone and call now to claim your free ticket to change your life. 623-486-3843. Mention Breakthrough Thinking. That's 623-486-3843. And online, BikramYogaPeoria.com. That's B-I-K-R-A-M, YogaPeoria.com.
Do you owe money to the IRS? Have you heard of possible payment options such as a partial payment installment agreement, offering compromise, or not currently collectible status? Knowing that you have options and what those options are will greatly relieve your worry and stress. Hi, my name is Dave Isaac, CPA and former government tax auditor. If you are curious as to what options may be available to you if you owe money to the IRS, my 25 years experience as a CPA may very well help you in these times of uncertainty. Stop worrying and start learning about what options you have. If you just want to talk to someone about your IRS debt or want specific advice, I invite you to call me at 602-625-3074. That is 602-625-3074. And when you call, ask for me, Dave Isaac, CPA and former government tax auditor.
At Beerenbaum and Spien PC, we want to help you work on your business, not in your business. We take a simple approach. You know your business. Our firm gives you the information to make those decisions better. Our firm takes a proactive approach to your accounting needs, and if you look behind the numbers, you'll find there are hidden opportunities that we try to impart on you. Communication is the key to that understanding, and there is no charge for brief phone calls. Contact us at 602-266-5633 or email us at mitch@jfbpc.com. Beerenbaum and Spien works to increase your understanding of your business in order to make the decisions necessary to move your business forward.
Mm-hmm.
Welcome back again. You're listening to Breakthrough Entertainment live on 1480 AM KPHX in Phoenix, Arizona. I'm Dave, alongside Trish. We have Kathleen and Eric behind the glass doing a magnificent job, as they always do.
That just made me think.
What's she doing?
Kathleen and Eric. Kathleen and Eric under the glass.
She's a little duck under glass.
She's a little bit country. You're a little bit rock and roll.
Actually, that's not a good comparison. She just classes up the joint. That's all I can
say. There we go. There we are. And of course, special in studio guest David Appleford.
He's got this high energy radio thing.
A great film critic. Great theater. Do we call it a theater critic or
sure,
just
absolutely.
Yeah? And just all around great guy.
I just want everything you said in writing so I can show it to others later.
Hey, we'll give you the recording as well. Okay. Yeah, no, we stand behind everything we say about you, David. You are incredible.
Very
and
good stuff.
We just enjoy. You're the kind of person that everybody would love to invite over for dinner and just discuss the theater. I really do feel
that
way.
Certainly not to watch me eat.
Oh, but no, but I'm just saying because you have such insight and it's just I got a great idea.
If you want to invite David over for dinner, call 602. No, I won't give
and his
number.
Lovely wife.
Yes.
And the lovely wife. And she is very lovely.
Well, that's
I mean, she left a message for me.
She did.
Yeah. Well, when we called and you were in London. And or in England, and so she returned the call.
Very, very nice. So, about speaking of youth theaters, you want to talk about Child's Play?
That's a good example. Well, here's Child's Play. Obviously, the audience is designed for children, but the performers on stage are adults, and they have some of the best professional performances in town. Mm. I love going to Child's Play. It was just a discovery not too long ago, even though they've been here for some time, but. It was so enchanting to the point where I look forward to every new Child's Play production. And they're one of those groups that I live in fear that they're going to let me down because I don't want to say anything negative. But fortunately, so far, their standard has been so good. And there are people involved there that you will see on other stages in town. Katie McFadden, for instance.
Yeah, we had her on the show. Incredible.
Really?
Incredibly talented.
And she did the one person performance for a Christmas Carol.
That's right.
With ATC. And there's also Yolanda London, who was recently in a terrific performance. I just wanted to mention her because it was so good at Phoenix Theater when she was playing Billie Holiday. And it's only just finished its run. So unfortunately, even though I'm mentioning it, you won't be able to see it now. It was called Lady Day at Emerson's Bar and Grill. And Yolanda was, she played Billie Holiday, but you see her all the time at Child's Play. And I've got to tell you, on the strength of her performance alone in this one production, I would say, like Katie, she's officially the jewel in the crown atop of the valley's already considerably large pool of professional talent.
Oh, wow.
And you can see this style at Child's Play. So that is
an
endorsement.
So many good things.
Yeah, very much a huge endorsement. Phoenix Theater does very well, too, by the way, now that I mention them. And let me say one last thing on theater. We didn't talk about the edgy theater. We have Nearly Naked Theater. They do some
What's that again?
It's called...
you like just piqued David's interest
over
here.
The adult material type of stuff?
kind of, yeah. They did a musical version, send up a parody of Debbie Does Dallas.
What?
Live on stage.
Really?
That's Nearly Naked
Now, what's
theater.
This called again? Nearly, the Naked Theater.
Nearly Naked Theater.
Nearly.
So what do you wear? Just a bow tie?
No.
Oh.
That's not the kind of question I expected.
I know. No, he. You know what? You just never know
you
what
never
you're
going to
get.
Damon Daring runs that. And then you have Ron May's excellent Stray Cat Theater.
Oh, we love Stray Cats. Yes, we like them as well.
And the reason I just wanted to mention them because Ron May, who basically runs that, he is such an interesting talent. He directs, he writes, he
And he did
produces.
A he did a one-man show.
Well,
what was that?
When we were talking about Katie McFadden in Christmas Carol, Ron May, it was a kind of an unofficial double bill.
Yeah.
He did a one-person play in the evening.
I forgot what it was called,
and
though.
We saw that one.
He was Crumpet
it was
the Elf.
Exactly. And the Elf Diaries.
The Elf Diaries. But he's such an interesting person, and his not everything's going to work, and I'm sure Ron will be the first to admit that, but everything you see is interesting, and having somebody in the valley like Ron May is essential. Every city should have a Ron May in their theater community.
Well, and I loved there was a piece that they did. Arizona Theater Company partnered with Stray Cats for Oh, the writer, she's up in the cabin and the guy.
Oh, that
yeah.
was...
that's when Ron May's Stray Cat doubled with
that?
Arizona Theater
Exactly,
Company.
And yeah. what a phenomenal collaboration
play,
yeah. between those two. I loved it. I thought it was excellent.
Right, I think that was a dream come true for Ron himself.
Yes. Yeah,
because he came on the stage on the opening night
I
with
remember
the reviewers
seeing
there.
That, yeah.
And you could tell in his opening speech that he was just
yeah.
thrilled
yeah.
to be in this position to be able to present it at the Herberger.
Yes.
And actually, Stray Cat are about to move permanently to the Tempe Center for the Performing
oh,
Arts.
Oh, well,
that's where Child's Play is at, too.
Yeah, that's
Child's
right.
Play is there.
It's a great venue, great theater, and in Stray Cats, it's perfect for the parking, because if there was one nightmare
yeah.
of trying to see a Stray Cat theater,
parking.
Is where were you going to park your darn car?
That's a tough one. And right. we only have a few minutes left, but tonight you're going to be going to see something in review.
Yeah, I'm going to the Arizona Broadway Theater that we mentioned, the Dinner Theater, for my plate of salmon. And
ooh, salmon. Good.
And they're doing the best little whorehouse in Texas.
Yeah.
Now, the reason that it's worth mentioning that is one thing that ABT does. They leave the originals intact. If anybody has a favorite musical they've seen in the past, they see it's there. You're not going to see a new version or not a new reimagined thing. You're going to see pretty much as it was done. And in the case of Best Little Whorehouse, isn't it wonderful to say that, by the way?
Yes, it is.
Seeing a whorehouse on a Saturday night, that's your entertainment.
With your wife at dinner theater.
Right. The movie was just awful. I'm sorry if you're a Dolly Parton, Burt Reynolds fan, but it was not the show. It was actually a vehicle for stars. And that's not the way it should be, because the real star is the show itself. Mm-hmm. And that's what I'm hoping that we'll see tonight.
Oh,
I mean, I'll have
exciting.
My notebook. I'm not going to prejudge, but I am looking forward to seeing it. I saw it with the Broadway cast in the late 70s, and it was wonderful. And then you see the film, and you think, oh, my goodness.
Well, much
Hollywood,
different.
Get out of the way.
Mm-hmm. So what time does that start?
Oh my gosh, I think they start serving dinner at 5:30. Sounds like an ad now. I think they start serving dinner at 5:30. The show is at 7:30. But
no, the ad was the salmon plate.
Yeah.
That's what got him. Yeah, he was like, well,
salmon is good.
He
though.
Loves salmon. So
I'm
I.
thinking of health in that particular case.
Yeah.
But they do it very well.
Yeah.
Not to keep
so
laboring that point.
You know, there's so many choices. It's absolutely amazing. But let's get contact information out for you. If you want people to...
If they
want
to read the website, that's
yeah.
easy. The easiest way is just my name. The site itself, the online magazine, is Valley Screen and Stage.
Yeah.
But the way you get to it is just put davidappleford.com.
Yeah.
And it'll direct you directly to it.
And that's APP, like Apple, APPLE. And
F-O-R-D.
And Ford.
Right.
Appleford.
And what you'll see on the homepage is the most recent additions, which would be either film or theater. For instance, there are two new films there, The Jungle Book, which I heard Joseph talk about very well in the last hour.
That's right.
And then there's the other film that I don't know if it was mentioned. It's from New Zealand, called The Dark Horse.
Oh.
Yes.
And it was voted as, it's considered to be one of the best films from New Zealand ever.
Oh, nice.
So we can now see that here in town, too.
Wow.
And that's based on a true story.
True story.
Yeah.
Can you believe this hour has zipped by?
Boy, I thought we wouldn't have enough to talk about.
This is great. David Appleford, film critic, theater critic, thank you so much for joining us today. Eric, Kathleen, always nice seeing you guys. A little bit country, a little bit rock and roll. Trisha, thank you, especially for doing a great job, you and Joseph, from 9 to 11.
Woohoo!
I didn't even have to come in and rescue the situation. These guys are professionals. All right, so we'll see everyone next week. Great surprise in-studio guest next week. Michelle Harvey, we'll see everyone next week.
It's now time for the Word Association Game. Contestants, go ahead.
Bars, meat market, gas,
high prices,
politicians,
liars,
auto mechanics,
ripoff.
Guys, whoa, 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 wait a minute here. Not when I think of my auto mechanic, I think of trust, care, safety, and fairness. This sounds like the definition of a friend, which was what Alexander's All Care Automotive Repair achieves with his customers. The peace of mind that comes with a mechanic that puts you first. Located at 3310 East Thomas Road, Phoenix, 85018. Call 602-956-3781. 602-956-3781.
Do you owe money to the IRS? Have you heard of possible payment options such as a partial payment installment agreement, offering compromise, or not currently collectible status? Knowing that you have options and what those options are will greatly relieve your worry and stress. Hi, my name is Dave Isaac, CPA and former government tax auditor. If you are curious as to what options may be available to you if you owe money to the IRS, my 25 years experience as a CPA may very well help you in these times of uncertainty. Stop worrying and start learning about what options you have. If you just want to talk to someone about your IRS debt or want specific advice, I invite you to call me at 602-625-3074. That is 602-625-3074. And when you call, ask for me, Dave Isaac, CPA and former government tax auditor.
At Beerenbaum and Spien PC, we want to help you work on your business, not in your business. We take a simple approach. You know your business. Our firm gives you the information to make those decisions better. Our firm takes a proactive approach to your accounting needs, and if you look behind the numbers, you'll find there are hidden opportunities that we try to impart on you. Communication is the key to that understanding, and there is no charge for brief phone calls. Contact us at 602-266-5633. Or email us at mitch@jfbpc.com. Beerenbaum and Spien works to increase your understanding of your business in order to make the decisions necessary to move your business forward.
This is 1480 KP.